This is DJ Moore. You're listening to Roster Watch.
Ladies and gentlemen, Roster Watch Nation, welcome back to the Epic Roster Watch Podcast, brought to you by RosterWatch.com. My name is Alex Dunlap, joined by the Trash Man, who is in Chicago right now, or in the greater Chicagoland area. Are you in Chicago, or are you out in, where are they have the practices? Lake Forest for the Bears?
They're in Lake Forest, but I'm in Lincoln Park right now.
You're one step closer to the edge.
No, a friend asked me where I was, what neighborhood I was in, and I sent her a picture of Chester Bennington.
Yeah, R.I.P., brother. Okay, so let's talk about Bears practice. Of course, this is part of the RosterWatch.com training camp tour. We have Cody leaving this weekend. I know he's going to be doing the show remotely from a studio in Jacksonville. So I guess he's starting out in Jacksonville. Trash Man's in Chicago right now. You'll be there through Saturday, going back to the practice then on Saturday. But, and then of course, Byron's heading to the West Coast. So we're going to have a bunch of these little kind of mini pods, just going through this stuff as these guys get done at practices. Trash Man was there today. From what I'm reading, Trash Man, it looks like you came and you were the Grinch that stole training camp from the offense of the Bears, because all the beat writers are saying it's the worst day that they've had.
Yeah, it was the first day that I saw, but from what I've heard, the offense had been, you know, clicking pretty well for the last three practices at least. And then the defense, well, actually Field said after in the press conference today that the defense won the day. And it was pretty obvious based on what happened out there on the field. I mean, they were up and down. They had some decent plays, but there were maybe two, maybe three deflected passes that became interceptions.
So whenever they say that he threw all those picks, those, because I did see the one that I think it was Tremaine Edmonds. God, he's a big guy. He's like a pterodactyl out there, man. I mean, I'll bet you that a lot of linebackers in the NFL wouldn't have been able to get that tipped
ball. Well, that's exactly what he was saying, that, you know, that's what Field was saying. He's one of the few linebackers in the entire NFL who could have actually made that play.
So, okay. So let's go through the players, because you were there last year. From what you saw of Justin Fields, you were actually a little bit higher on him coming out of this camp last year than most people were. He's currently right now the quarterback 6 in the Fantasy Pros consensus ADP right now across ESPN, Yahoo, Sleeper, and RT Sports. He's going at about pick 45. So into the fourth round, beginning of the fifth round, he'll sometimes slip to. Does he look like an early-ish round quarterback to you this year? I mean, I know it was just one day of practice, and you're going to be able to get another one. But how's his command? How's his level of confidence? What is he? How's he operating out there? Is it any different from what you saw last season?
He's operating really well out there, but he might be the only person on the offense who's got, you know, that kind of pep in their step. The offensive coordinator, Luke Getsy, was talking about how the offense was walking back to the huddle a lot, where the defense is really pumped.
Is it hot there or something? Like, what was it, just a bad – were they just down? Was
the energy down? I think the defense just had their number today. It was hot, you know. It was probably mid-80s, but, I mean, nothing compared to down in Texas. But there was – I mean, but it was, the sun was intense. I mean, it was – I was hot out there on the sidelines, and I've been in Texas this entire summer. It felt comparable, but it was hot. And I think they just started out kind of up and down and just never really gained their footing. And so that, you know, they don't really have anybody outside of DJ Moore, who's it's a very young team, and it's not a team that's full of guys that have been on winning teams. So I don't know that they really have that. They don't really have that swagger. They don't really have that guy on the team who can like galvanize them, because they've never really had a winner on that offense out of any of those players. So, you know, Fields, you know, he's doing his best to carry that offense. But
Fields is kind of a quiet guy. He's a little
quiet guy. DJ Moore is a quiet guy. Chase Claypool was actually the one player on the offense who was getting pumped up.
Did he look good? I mean, so how
Chase
did
Claypool, play- Chase Claypool looked good. Chase Claypool got the most targets on the day. He's the receiver that field is most.
Was he outside
with.
Or was he in the slot or what?
He played a lot of his catches were over the middle. He played both, but most of his catches were over the middle in traffic. You know, the offensive coordinator, Luke Getsy, said that Claypool was the receiver Field is most comfortable with right now, and you could see it on
more
the field.
More so than DJ Moore?
DJ, and more so than DJ Moore, even though nobody could cover DJ Moore. DJ Moore looked like the best player on the field. I mean, he just plays at a different speed. He plays at a different power than any of those other guys. But Fields just isn't quite as comfortable yet. They haven't had as much time on the field together.
The fact that you saw the offense begin, you know, have a down day after all the talk that we've heard that they've been firing on all cylinders, that this connection between Justin Fields and DJ Moore is a budding connection that's going to elevate him to new heights. I mean, those were the narratives, right? If you were an alien that didn't know anything about the training camp reports and stuff before, would you have come out of that saying that this is a budding chemistry between Justin Fields and DJ Moore that's really going to help him to elevate?
I mean, I wouldn't be so bullish on it, but they did have some good connection. They did have some. It was just fewer and farther between than
Claypool. I mean, that's the only way that people are going to be building the bull case for DJ Moore whenever you throw in the volume concerns.
Well, there is going to be lots of volume. First group on the field, two receiver set, two tight end set. So it was Claypool with Moore on either side, and then Robert Tonyan and Cole Kmet. That was the first group he saw on the field.
And so who was the first running back out there? Was it Herbert or Foreman?
It was Herbert pretty much all day.
It was.
Herbert played almost exclusively with the first team.
So Deontay's not – okay, before we get to the running backs, let's just go over the wide receivers. So DJ Moore, we know, is going right now wide receiver 22, about 55 overall. Does that seem like it makes sense to you comparing him to players like, I mean, Christian Watson's going after him, Jerry Jeudy, players like that? Does that make sense to you?
Maybe not Jerry Jeudy now with what's happened with the Denver receiving core.
Oh, because of Tim Patrick.
Losing Tim Patrick.
How Marvin Mims is still out, right?
Yeah, I feel like we have to give Jeudy a boost there. I mean, the thing is DJ Moore looked amazing on his, you know, on against the DBs out there. Nobody could cover him at all. He just wasn't getting quite as many looks as Chase Claypool was.
Claypool looked like the number one today.
If I was an alien and I landed and I just saw
Claypool. Yeah, well, yeah, that guy got the most targets.
Claypool looked like the number one.
Okay. Do you think because Claypool was probably priced in an area where you could. I mean, he's going after – what is he going at 242 overall, wide receiver 87? He's going around the same time as Robert Woods and Mecole Hardman.
You get great value on Claypool.
Okay. What about Darnell Mooney? Was he featured at all? Does it seem like – it sure feels like
– He was in three wide sets. He didn't get a lot of action, didn't get a lot of targets.
But certainly when they go to 12, with Tonyan and with Kmet, it's Claypool and it's DJ Moore. Darnell Mooney's not out there.
Right.
Whenever Darnell Mooney comes in three wide sets, is he mainly in the slot or do they play him outside at Z is like a stretch flanker?
He played him both. I mean, Claypool played some slot.
Okay.
And then Mooney played some slot.
Okay. And the tight ends, I mean, any interest there? They just paid Cole Kmet $54 million. I mean, does it matter to you?
He did look for Kmet in the end zone, and that's something I think we can continue to see this season.
You want to win your fantasy draft? No, I mean, like really. Do you really, really, really want to win your fantasy draft? Because you can win your fantasy draft with the RosterWatch Ultimate Draft Cheat Sheet, available at rosterwatch.com. It's the revolutionary cheat sheet to change fantasy football forever, and it's the only tool you'll need this draft season. You've heard Roster Watch live on SiriusXM Radio here on the podcasts, from all the NFL training camps. Now, all you have to do is follow the three simple rules at the top of the sheet of paper using the Roster Watch cheat sheet. That's it. Three rules. An extra quality draft is guaranteed if you follow the three simple rules. Guys, it couldn't be easier. The Roster Watch Ultimate Draft Cheat Sheet. You can't afford to draft without it. It's available now and only at rosterwatch.com. With the running backs, it was Khalil Herbert exclusively with the ones, no Deontay Foreman. Roshan Johnson was out there, but he was not participating, and you couldn't get any word from any media or from the media relations about the extent of the injury. Was that what happened?
Yeah, there's been no announcement about an injury from the team officially.
Did you see him walk out of the locker room, out of the locker room and onto the football field?
Yes.
Was he limping?
No. If I was just looking at him, I would not have thought there was an injury.
Was he standing around with the rest of the running backs and watching them do drills? Was he like throwing a football or anything?
He wasn't throwing a football, but he was with the running back during their with the running backs during their drills.
Was there anything? Okay. Was there anything? Oh, he was doing stretch. Was he doing any stretching was he doing any stretching that would make you think that it probably is not a shoulder?
It might be a shoulder. I don't think it was leg related.
Okay. Oh, all right. But there wasn't any hints that, because I think if it's not leg related, the things you worry about, what you worry about, like shoulder, hand, you know, he did have the broken hand at the Senior Bowl. It could be something simple like that. I think
he didn't handle the ball at all. So maybe it was something hand or shoulder related. I'll be able to find out more on this next day of practice.
Okay. So just make sure, like, are you getting the chance to address these coaches or these players? Like, next time you get the chance, just ask, like, what's up with Roshan? If he's not out there, just make sure and ask. All right. Let's get that figured out. We
didn't get any access to Eberflus, didn't talk today.
Okay. Well, the fact of the matter is he was looking like the best pass protection running back that they had if you looked at all the drills that they were doing. But that's interesting.
I'll tell you what, Khalil Herbert looks thick. I did talk to some people on some of the beat writers, and they said that he's put on muscle. The team has said he'd put on muscle this offseason. He looks like he looks as big as Deontay Foreman.
Deontay's a big guy.
Khalil looks thick.
So with Herbert, the main issue with him is that was told to us by Eberflus at the combine was that he needs to get better without the ball in his hands. I took that to mean pass protection stuff. I took that to mean catching the ball. Did you see Herbert catch any footballs today?
I saw him catch a couple. He didn't drop any.
So you saw him catch at least two balls.
Yeah.
In sort of like a team setting, in a team setting, or just in position drills.
It was the position drills that I saw him catch the ball.
Okay, so like, but during the plays that Getsy had drawn up, you didn't see them draw up a play in team versus that defense where he was catching the football.
No.
Okay. Going right now is RB38. So he's going around.
I will say, and Fields touched on this during the press conference, that the plays that they ran today, they were script, like the practice was scripted. Like they had specific plays that they were going to run kind of no matter what the defense is doing. And so
great idea. Doesn't sound like it worked. Everyone's got a plan to get punched in the mouth by Jermaine Edmonds.
Right. They just wanted, you know, to kind of get these players in different, personnel, different packages, different looks. And so maybe some of the way that the offense was run today was just kind of predicated on that and not what they'll actually do in the game.
Thank you, Johnny Dimes, in the chat, man, for being a pro member at Roster Watch, and congratulations on your championship last year using the cheat sheet, brother. We really, really appreciate that. So thank you,
Johnny Dimes.
All right. So Khalil Herbert, Byron is getting him on the standard cheat sheet. I was kind of puking in my mouth a little bit about that whole thing. You're making me feel a little bit better about it, even though I hate to hear it for our guy Deontay Foreman. That it feels like.
I mean, maybe it's early in practices. Maybe it's something he works into. But right now, Khalil Herbert is the number one running back.
It feels like taking a guy like Khalil Herbert in standard leagues is probably better taking him at running back 38 than it would be taking Zach Charbonnet or somebody who's already hurt,
right,
and he's going to be in a total guaranteed to be in a total you know, committee.
Timeshare.
Guaranteed to be a 1B at RB 37. Okay. You also said Claypool. There's the Claypool stuff. Maybe a little bit of a boost up to him as somebody in deeper leagues, maybe 14-team leagues you can take at the end of your drafts. He looks like a better value than DJ Moore. Not just a not a better asset, but maybe just for the price, you know, just based on the ball you use today. Darnell Mooney's been being relegated to a situational role.
It seems like it. It seems like it. You didn't. I didn't see him catch, but maybe two passes on the day. And they did a lot. They did a lot of 11 on 11 today. Practice ran maybe a half hour later than it should have.
How comfortable are you with Justin Fields as your starting fantasy quarterback that you have to spend draft capital in the same area where you're taking players like, let's just see. I mean, you are the opportunity cost for Justin Fields to take him in your draft is Damian Pierce, TJ Hawkinson, Keenan Allen, Aaron Jones, Amari Cooper, Calvin Ridley, Miles Sanders, Terry McLaurin. You're missing out on one of those players in that round to get Justin Fields.
I'm okay with that. I mean, Fields, the throwing was up and down, but when he ran the ball, he was the fastest player on the field, it seemed like. I feel like, you know how I feel about running backs who throw touchdowns, and Fields is that. Fields has sky-high potential, better receiving core than he had last season. I feel comfortable taking there with those guys.
All right, just a couple other quick things, and this wasn't your task to watch this, but did you notice anything? They said that Tevin Jenkins got hurt today, the left guard. Did you see anything happen with the offensive line? Did it look like it was any worse for the? I guess they put in Alex Leatherwood for him. Was that anything concerning? Did the offensive line concern you? Did it look okay? Was there anything?
I was asking some of the beat writers about the offensive line, and they think it. I mean, like they said, it looks better than it did last year. They feel like there was a draft pick that.
It was Darnell Wright.
Darnell Wright. They say that he's really shoring up that right side. Says that with you know a lot of these guys. Last year was their first year with this offense. They feel a lot more comfortable in the offense this year. They feel like, and it looked like Fields had more time to throw the ball.
Any of these guys who are like the kind of. New, like, what about Tyler Scott? Did you notice anything about Tyler Scott, the rookie wide receiver? Was there anything you noticed from any of these other guys just that we need to keep our eyes on, maybe even for preseason DFS? Anybody that could be getting involved early on in the preseason that looked like they had some talent?
Yes, there was one. Scott, he did a little bit, but he wasn't the guy that – looked good. It was C Strunk, I think was the name. If I'm saying that correctly.
Let's see. Let me pull up the roster. I don't see is it Crookshank maybe?
Crookshank. Okay. Was fast. He was working on special teams with Bayless Jones, but also on the one-on-one drills. He behind DJ Moore, he was the next guy who like DBs couldn't touch. So much speed there.
Any other pressing, hot off the press things you got to get out to Roster Watch Nation about Bears camp that I didn't ask you about?
No, I think we touched on everything. I mean, just like the two tight end sets, I think that's going to be prevalent in the Bears offense this season. So I think you're going to be able to get value, some value out of Tanya too.
Yeah, nobody's taking Tanya. Nobody's even thinking about that. All right, so nice work, Trash Man. Thank you for the report. And I guess can we finally say that your longtime international love affair with Bayless Jones has now come to an end?